Good morning to each and every one of you here this morning, bringing you greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to be here again this morning. It's good to see each one of you here. And it is a special day today as we think of another day to worship the Lord, another day to come together as brothers and sisters. And also as we're coming into the Thanksgiving and Christmas season, it's always favorite times of mine. I don't necessarily enjoy cold weather, even though I do say we should look forward to all seasons of life or enjoy. I shouldn't say look forward to. Sometimes that's not the easiest way to say it. We should enjoy the seasons of life that we have. But it is good to be here together this morning. I also want to welcome the visitors who are with us here today as well. This morning, as we're looking for the message this morning, this week is Thanksgiving week. We want to think about Thanksgiving Day or being thankful. As we think of that, what all does that involve as we think of Thanksgiving? We know the first Thanksgiving that was recorded or that we know of is when the people came over and were here in the United States. And that first year they arrived in the fall. And this is one thing that always is astounding to me. They are this part of the story. They arrived in the fall and they did not have much provisions for the winter. Many of them died. I think over half of them died that winter. But the next summer, the Indians showed them how to grow things and they had a bountiful harvest and they came together and had a Thanksgiving Day. And that's kind of what Thanksgiving Day was instituted from. But one of the things I was reading a little bit about that, and it said that of the half that died, I think there was estimated 18 married women came over, and there was only four of them that were still living at that Thanksgiving Day. That was barely about a year later, so that more of the women would have died than the men. But as I thought about that, you know, as we go through life, would I be able to be thankful if I would have been one of the men that lost my wife? Would I have been happy and thankful through that time? But that's just something to think about as we go through the message and think about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is more than just a day. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. It should be for us as Christians. The definition of being thankful is appreciation, grateful, or expressing thanks. The definition of grateful is thankful for benefits and appreciative. So they kind of go hand in hand and run together. But are we thankful and are we grateful? A question for us to think about. How should Thanksgiving affect my life on a daily basis? Part of being thankful is learning contentment. I didn't look up where the reference of it is, but the one verse in the Bible says, "Godliness with contentment bringeth great gain." I think that actually might be Philippians 4:13 now since I'm thinking about it. But godliness with contentment bringeth great gain. The title of our message this morning is Living Thankfully. One of the things we see that is very prevalent in our society today is an attitude of ingratitude. I was just seeing on Facebook here sometime in the last couple of days about a plea to shoppers or that come into stores to be kind to the people that are working in the stores, that are stocking shelves, that are doing their work in the store. That the one lady was where, I forget what store it was even in, but apparently a shopper must have pretty much pushed her out of the way or gave her a piece of her mind for holding her up. I don't know what the whole story was. They were putting out a plea for shoppers to be mindful of those that are in the store, workers in the store doing their job. And I was just thinking about that as we think about people today have an attitude of ingratitude. God does so much for us and we owe so much to Him, yet we rarely or at least infrequently offer thanks for what He has done and is doing for us. Do we remember to give Him thanks? In fact, there was a study done not too many years ago that said that a lot of professing Christians don't even offer thanks over their meals, much less offer thanks for all that God has done in their lives. I remember one time when I was a young boy, I don't remember, probably 10, 12, somewhere in that range. I don't remember exactly for sure the time frame, but I went fishing with some of my friends. It was neighbor boys, lived a mile or so away, and we went to where we were fishing at, there in the creek. Their grandparents lived right near the creek, and their grandparents would have actually attended the church that I grew up in. And It was getting close lunchtime, and they said, "Hey, let's just go over there. They'll have something for us to eat." So we went over, and I forget if we had hot dogs or whatever, but we sat down and just started eating. No, there was no prayer offered or anything, and I was just like shocked. That was just foreign to me. We always prayed before we ate. And yeah, so I was surprised at the study that they said was done, that there's a lot of professing Christians that don't offer thanks. I trust that each one of us here would remember to do that and make that a practice. It's also a story of a little boy that I heard, and this is maybe a little bit comical, but it brings out an illustration or a part of being thankful. A little boy was given an orange by a man one day. The little boy's mother said, "What do you say to the man?" The little boy thought about it a little bit and handed it back and said, "Could you peel it for me?" The mom was trying to get him to tell her thank you, but instead he wanted him to do more. But we laugh at that, and that is kind of humorous. But do we ever treat God like that? Does he extend blessings to our lives, but yet we want more, or we wanted it in a different way? How do we relate our attitude of thankfulness and gratefulness to God? As a child of God, thankfulness is not confined to a day or a season or even a moment, but it should be an attitude that we should have every day of our lives. Many times, if we're not careful, we tend to look at the negative part of things that happen instead of looking at the blessings and circumstances of life. You know, we were talking about it in Sunday school, about it being obedient or disobedient to God. And you know, I mentioned a little bit there, and I was thinking about some of this as I was preparing for the message. But sometimes our faith is tested. Sometimes we have loss of a loved one. Sometimes we have loss of other things, and our faith can be tested very extremely. And there's even times in Scripture that it talks about that where here again, I'm pulling this from memory. I didn't look at all of this as I was studying. I don't have the references, but it talks about even in those moments when we don't even want to pray, that the Spirit hears our groanings. In other words, there's times that we can't do much more than groan because of the heaviness that we're facing. But I guess what I'm wanting us to grasp from all of that, even in the midst of the hard things, even in the midst of the hard trials, we maybe don't, how can I say this too, to make it be right and okay, we don't necessarily need to thank God for the hard things we're going through or for the loss that we're facing, but we do need to remember to keep our faith in Him and in the midst of those hard things. God is still sovereign and God is still caring. Our mind many times go to the negative things of life instead of dwelling on the blessings that we have. So a man by the name of Dr. Dale Robinson wrote, he said, "I used to think people complained a lot because they had a lot of problems, but I've come to realize that they have a lot of problems because they do a lot of complaining. Complaining doesn't change anything or make the situation better. The only thing it does is amplifies the frustration and spreads discontent and discord and can invoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc in their lives. To put it in simple terms, complaining just makes us plain down miserable. Instead of thinking how little we have, we need to count up how much we have and remember to give thanks." A couple verses here yet in the opening before we get into the main text is in Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15. It says, "Do all things without murmuring or disputings or without complaining or arguing, but that we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom we shine as lights in the world." So we need to remember as we go through life. This morning we're going to be looking at the account of the 10 lepers. There's several different passages of Scripture that I often think about when I think of Thanksgiving, and this is one that really comes to my mind many times. It's in, if you want to turn to me at this time, it's in Luke 17, verse 11 through 19. And yeah, it gives us a good example of what do we do, how thankful are we when God, for the blessings that we have and for what God does for us. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. And it says, "And it came to pass," and this is Jesus here, "as he went to Jerusalem," this is Jesus referring to Jesus traveling to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there he met 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And he lifted up their voices and said, Master Jesus, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise and go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Part one, there'll be 3 parts to the message here this morning. Part one we want to look at is a desperate situation. We see here there was 10 lepers that were in a very desperate situation. We don't know a lot about leprosy. We don't have that in the United States. You very seldom ever hear of it. I don't know that we really do, but I don't know of anybody personally that would have ever had leprosy to the extent that we're referring to here. But in verse 12, thinking about the desperate situation they were off, verse 12, it talks about Jesus entering into a certain village, and there were 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. That phrase there, which stood afar off. They were shut out from the village. They were outcast. They weren't supposed to have any contact with anyone else. The disease of leprosy was a painful disease. Many times, I think it was kind of referred to as a flesh-eating disease. They would open sores and open wounds that would not heal. And many times was very painful. They faced isolation because they were cut off from their family and their friends. Another thing it was meant was humiliation. They were mocked and made fun of. I want to turn back to Leviticus 13, verses 44 and 45. It talks a little bit about leprosy and some of the things that were involved with that and what they had to do. But it says there, Leviticus 13, might start at verse 44 through 46. He is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean, and his plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is in, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, Unclean, unclean. And all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, and he is unclean, and he shall dwell alone without the camp, shall his habitation be. So there we see a little bit there about what all the people that had leprosy had to go through. They not only were cut off from the society around them, but when anybody came near them, they were supposed to cry, unclean, unclean. In other words, stay away from me. I thought about that a little bit. Sometimes you get around somebody that maybe is having some sickness. There was a stomach virus just went through pretty heavily in the last couple weeks. And, you know, you would get near someone. Sometimes they're like, oh, you might not want to get too close. I was just getting over being sick or something like that. Well, that's understandable. But if you had to cry unclean, in other words, stay away. You can't get close to me. I'm unclean. That would be very humiliating. There was a lot of people that mocked them because a lot of people in that day, if you go back and read about it, a lot of people looked at that as people that would have sinned or done something wrong, that they were in the state that they were. Leprosy basically meant a total loss of the way of life. You pretty much were put out, left to fend for yourselves, and many times some of them would die in that state. But I thought about that a little bit in comparison to how desperately lost we were before we found Jesus. It was a similar situation. We were unclean. It's in a different way, but it's in our heart. We were without hope. We were alone. We needed a Savior. We'll maybe talk about that just a little bit more as we're coming near the end of the message. But part two we want to look at is a cry for help. Then verse 13 there, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They recognized Jesus was coming. And it appears that all of them were crying out for that mercy because it says they lifted up their voices. It don't just say one of them. It says they lifted up their voices and cried, have mercy on us. They seen Jesus and realized he was their chance of being healed. None of us were probably in this situation before, but were you ever in a desperate situation where you didn't know what to do and you had to cry out to God? Look at Jesus' response here in verse 14. And he said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priest." And as they went, and as they turned, and it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. He didn't immediately heal them, but he told them to go and show themselves to the priest. They had to do that. A person that had leprosy, when they were healed, they had to go show themselves to the priest and be declared as healed and clean again before they could integrate back into normal society. But it says here, as they obeyed, as they went, they were healed. All 10, all of them were cleansed. All of them were healed. Think about Jesus' response here for a moment. Go show yourselves unto the priest. I said about how they had to go and to show themselves to the priest to be declared clean. But he was doing something else here. He was testing their faith in obedience. You know, there's a lot in this story, more than just the lepers that were clean. Were they willing to be obedient? Part 3 we want to look at is the praise of one. Verse 15 and 16. In verse 15 it says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God." All of them were cleansed, but only one returned to give thanks. And I thought about that in my own life. I was studying here, verse 15, that last phrase of that verse, with a loud voice glorified God. You almost sense that it's with the same intensity that he was crying out to God for help, that he was coming back and glorifying God. You know, there's times when we are in a desperate situation, we cry out to God. Do we remember to come back with that same intensity and give thanks and praise because he is faithful? Or do we just say, "Oh, thank you, Lord," and just continue on our way like we were expecting that's the way it should be? And I believe God hears our thanksgiving regardless of how we do it. But I want to stress that, are we truly thankful? All 10 of them had been in the same position. All 10 of them had cried out for Jesus. And all 10 of them were healed. Yet only one of them turn back to give thanks. He realized that it was Jesus that made a difference. He realized that Jesus was the one that could heal him and had done the healing. How thankful are we when we go through life? Bible commentary, Matthew Henry, I've used this illustration before, it's been a number of years, I'm pretty sure. But one time he was robbed, and after being robbed, he wrote in his diary the following. He said, "Let me first be thankful because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they didn't take my life. And third, because they took everything that I had, but it really wasn't that much. And fourth, and this is the one I want us to remember the most, because I was the one who was robbed, not the one who did the robbing." Would that be our attitude if somebody robbed us? He had an attitude of thankfulness and gratefulness to God. But thinking a little bit more about the 10 lepers here, they all had a reason to praise God, but only one realized it and was willing to turn back. They all had a need. And all of their needs were taken care of as far as the healing. But only one came back to give thanks and to worship. How often do we take our blessings and miracles for granted and forget to praise God and thank him for that? The one that came back, I believe, did three things. First, he turned back and with a loud voice, he began praising God. But there's another thing there that we see too. Then verse 16, he fell down on his face at his feet. In other words, he bowed himself before the Lord. He humbled himself before the Lord and was worshiping Jesus for who he was and for what he had did. With the same loudness and the same intensity that he had cried out for mercy, he was now glorifying God. Look at Jesus' response. And I had to think here as I was studying this and thinking about this. Does he ever feel that response to me or to you? He first says, Were there not ten, verse 17, were there not ten cleansed, but where are the nine? Where are the rest of them at? Aren't they thankful for what happened to them? They were not found to return to give glory to God except this one stranger. Where are the nine? Where are the rest? Do you ever think about the excuse the other nine might have given if Jesus would have went to them and said, weren't you thankful for what happened to you? I don't appear that he did that, but I wonder what their excuse would have been. What is our excuse? What is my excuse? What is your excuse for not giving thanks for what God is doing in our lives? Where are we seeking our contentment from? The last response that Jesus has there in verse 19, and I believe this one was cleansed and healed in a deeper way than the other nine were. The other nine were healed physically, but I believe this man was healed spiritually as well. We don't know the rest of the story for the rest of them, but he says, go thy way, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. When he uses that phrase there, it's a lot more than just healing. It's talking about his heart, his spiritual life, and everything that is a part of his life. Are we thankful this morning that because of Jesus, we will never be the same again? If we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, we will never be the same. We are cleansed. We are healed. We are now a new person, a new creation. Does the world around about us recognize that in us? Many times I believe we get distracted by our present circumstances and we forget how much we really have to be thankful for. Sometimes we're like the little boy with the orange. You get handed a blessing. You say, well, I need more. I wanted more than that. This summer, I just happened to think about it. This summer was very, very dry spells and very, very hot. And we needed rain badly. And many of us were praying for rain, especially the farmers. And you know, there was times we'd get maybe 1 or 2 tenths, and it seemed like we needed, we could have used 1 or 2 inches. But I was always reminded to thank God for what we were getting and be thankful for the little bit that we were getting. And I believe that made a lot of difference, even the little bits that we got here and there. We had, at the end of summer, our corn was probably hurt the worst, but then as far as from the drought, our beans, we started getting some rain and they were looking a lot better. And we had that 2 weeks of rainy weather in September. And the one day I was talking to, he said, did you check your soybeans? He said, a lot of guys are saying their beans are sprouting. And I said, well, I don't think ours are. I just looked at them a couple days ago and I went out that day and I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Some of them were sprouted halfway down the stalks. So our beans had got rain that they looked like it was gonna be a bumper crop of beans. Well, then you look at them. And I remember the first thing that I said to Lois, I said, I'm not sure if we should laugh or cry. But yeah, in all of that, we're supposed to give thanks and remember to be grateful, even in the hard times of life. And whenever I say that, it appeared just a week or two before that, even though our corn yield was down, it looked like we were going to have a fairly good bumper crop of beans. But yet, in all of that, we need to remember to give thanks. I said a little bit there earlier about the pilgrims on that first Thanksgiving day. I mentioned about over half of them dying. But that next summer, they had a bountiful crop, and the Indians, the natives that were here in America, had showed them how to grow crops and make things grow. And they came together and gave thanks. We could say that Jesus gave the lepers a new life or a new chance at life, we could say, many of them, because they were healed and they could go back to their families. But Jesus can do the same for each one of us today as he did for the one that turned and gave thanks, or he can continue to make us whole if we continue to have faith and trust in him. He can cleanse us of our sins, make us clean and pure before him. Are we lifting up our voices and giving him praise? Are we coming before his feet and falling at his feet and remembering to thank him? Do remember that he is in control. There's another illustration that really makes you stop and think. In Los Angeles, a parking citation with a $5 bill attached to it arrived at a traffic fine bureau. It accompanied a note and saying, "I found this ticket on the sidewalk, not knowing if the car owner had ever seen it. I would like to make remittance for him in gratitude for the occasions when I have parked over my allotted time and not received a ticket." That is truly a thankful and grateful person if you can have that attitude and do things like that. What does the world see in us as we interact with the world? A couple more verses here yet in closing, thinking about some of that. Brother Brenton read this verse in his devotional this morning, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Another one over in Ephesians 5, verse 20. It says this, "Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then Psalm 100 is another couple verses there. There's five verses, very good verses to think about of giving thanks to the Lord. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves, for we are his people and the sheep of his pastures. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Just a lot of good things for us to ponder on. As we go through life, let's remember to be a thankful people. Let's remember that it becomes a lifestyle. You know, do we get up and murmur and complain about the weather? I remember when I was a young boy, one of my friends was working at a job site where he was on the construction crew building. There was a mason crew and that was working there. And he said it never failed. Every morning, there was the older man that was the foreman of the crew. He said, "We'd get out of the truck, and the first thing, his first couple of sentences would be something complaining." Didn't matter if it was too hot or too cold or if the ground was muddy. He said it was just a miserable man. And he talked that they would work together there on the same job site for a little number of weeks, if I remember the story right. But what do people see in us? Most of all, I should say, what does God see in us? Are we like the one that returns and give thanks for who we are and for what he has done in our life? With those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.